I have a sermon this morning entitled The Hunger. The hunger is my word, it's my concept of the call of God. Because the call of God on my life has always felt like that. It's felt like a yearning, aching hunger to do the very thing that God designed me to do. And the more I've pressed in and the more I've responded and the more I've said, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me? The more he swells and stirs a hunger in me. Because this is how he works faithfully in everybody who turns their heart towards his Father. Say, Father, would you do something in me? And he starts to swell in you a yearning to walk in all that he purposed for you to be. I remember before I met the Lord, before I responded to the Lord, that there was this yearning in my heart to know God. And it went on for months, and I would pray secret, private prayers. Lord, forgive me, come into my life. But I never had the confidence to stand up in public and say, this is what I've done, until the day came when that yearning in me had become so intense that I lied to my cricket coach and told him I had to go to a doctor's appointment because I'd heard that some believers were meeting together. And I snuck out I was supposed to be playing, and I went to a meeting because I heard believers, some friends of mine, who were giving their testimony, and I sat in the meeting with such a yearning, and when it came time, and the one guy said, would anybody here like to give your life to the Lord? And I began to weep. I said, me, I just me. And I didn't know what to do. And they said, well, just pray this prayer. And I prayed after them. And they said, is there anything that you want to pray? And I remember the yearning in my spirit. I said, oh, God, just use my life. And it still burns in me today. Because when God is going to move by his Spirit in your life, he's going to stir in you a hunger to do the thing that he purposed you for. God fashioned you for a purpose, and he has a call on your life. And so he co-labors. The Holy Spirit is immensely faithful to co-labor with the purpose of God and the redemption of Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit's working in you yearnings, a hunger to walk in all that God has for you. So began the hunger for me, the deep longing to know Jesus and for my life to be used by him in some way. And it's like an ache in my marrow, like a constant thirst, the rhythmic hunger that is a gift which constantly reminds me of the purpose of my life. And because he's faithful to you, because the Holy Spirit is faithful, I know, because even for those of you I've never met, I know what's going on in your heart. Because the Holy Spirit is extremely faithful. And if you will get quiet, and if you'll just turn and surrender your heart again to the Lord, you'll find this inner yearning in you. Now, it may be different to the yearning that's in me, but it will be to the call of God on your life. Everybody who's been born of God knows what I'm talking about. When the one who created you brought you into the new birth, in other words, you were born and then you were born again, you were created and you were recreated in Christ, this is the truth. He starts in your hunger. It's like an unveiling of the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit. The yearning of the Spirit of truth. Because the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, and he's constantly whispering truth to your spirit. And this is the strange thing, because you're walking in circumstances that are opposite to who you are, or opposite to the identity that God has called you to, or opposite of the calling of God in your life. And although your circumstances may be opposite, the constant inner testimony of your spirit is, you were born for this. This is who you are. For this you were born. Welcome to the hunger. In my case, I'm going to struggle to get through this sermon.
See, this is not a theory. This is the stuff of life. In my case, I yearned for ministry. I would sit in meetings and the Spirit of God would move. And I would be so wrought upon. And I would yearn. I said, God, use my life. And that hunger will wax and wane. It'll go strong and it'll burn bright and then it'll go dim. But it never goes away. And you know what I've discovered? The only time I can slake that thirst is when I'm doing the thing that I was born to do. And I promise you it'll be the same for you. Because the Spirit of God will constantly testify with you. You were born for this. And you may be somewhere else, and you may be caught up somewhere else, and somebody else may be defining you, and you may be in tough situations, but the testimony of your spirit by the Holy Spirit will always be, this is who you were born to be. Rehydration. Thank you, my man. The constancy and the accuracy of the Holy Spirit's inner testimony. This is who I have made you to be. And as the years passed for me, as I finished school and then I went mandatory to a military response for a couple of years, and then at the end of that time, the yearning, the hunger in me was, I want to go into the ministry, and I never felt the Lord had specifically said to me, and I went to the Lord, I sought the Lord. I only got 2 weeks vacation that year, and I took 10 of those days to go and fast and seek the Lord and say, God, what is it that you want to do with my life? And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to go into the ministry. And I went through about 2 weeks where I couldn't escape one scripture that said, do your best to show yourself approved, the workman to God who correctly handles the word of truth. And I would drive past the bus and some other scripture would be on the bus. I switched on the radio, it was beyond there. I pick up a Bible, it was, and you know, that scripture came at me in 15 different ways. And I that Sunday I went to church and there was a big conference in our church, and they had maybe 50 stalls around the outside of the church. It was a large church. And I'm sitting there and I'm just calling out to God, what do you want to do with my life? And I look up and the scripture that the Lord has been speaking to me is stuck on the wall of a Bible college. And because it's the very thing I wanted to do, I didn't trust the Lord's voice in me. So Michelle and I went, we were dating. We went to a college student ministry on a Saturday night. We came in late. There were maybe 150, 200 people in the room. We sat in the back row, and there was a guy preaching, and I'd never met him. But the yearning in me was so strong, and I said, Lord, could you just speak to me through this guy? And he stopped his sermon, and he pointed me out. He said, the Lord says I must speak to you. He had my attention. He said, please come see me after the sermon. The Lord says I must speak to you. And I went to him and he said, I feel like the Lord says you must go to the Bible college that I'd seen the scripture on the wall. That'll give you clarity. See, friends, if you will respond to the hunger in your heart, you'll discover the Holy Spirit only too eager to point out the way. I was clear about wanting to be in ministry. The hunger in me was steadfast. But I was grateful that I heard a call. And I pretty much guarantee everybody in this room, if you'll respond to the inner hunger of the Holy Spirit, if you'll say, yes, Lord, the Holy Spirit will start to direct you very clearly. This is what I have for you. Philippians 2 says the following. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Paul said, guys, I want you to take this seriously. I want you to do this in a spirit of accurate, honor, fear, respect for the Lord, because God has been working in you a desire towards the calling of His on your life. You need to take this seriously. You need to step up to this reality. You need to grasp something that God is doing in you. Whew. I'm sorry, I'm trying to lighten this up, but I want you to feel this is not light. We're not talking whimsical things here. We're talking about God's dream for your life. He's calling on you. And there's not a single person in this room, I don't care where you've been, I don't care how many times you've tried, there's not a single person in this room that God's dream for you is undiminished. Everyone born of God knows this hunger and this yearning for what He called you to do. The only way to satisfy that hunger is to step into what He called you to do. Only there you'll find satisfaction. And I meet a lot of people, when I talk about the hunger, they know exactly what I'm talking about, but they haven't stepped into it. And they're hoping that something in this world will fill the space that they were born to walk in. And I'll tell you what, only ever will that be a very fractional temporary measure. For a second, maybe a day, you'll have a sense of accomplishment. But when you go to sleep at night, when you get still before the Lord, the hunger will burn in you. Paul says, exercise yourselves with diligence on this issue. Work it out diligently, because this is God working in you, His desires in line with His will for you. Work it out. In the Greek, it literally means unto the finish line. Keep going, keep pressing, keep yearning, keep walking in this direction. And I suspect that till my dying breath, this hunger will be constant. And I suspect for you it's the same. Till your dying breath, the Spirit of truth will constantly be whispering to you, this is who you are. This is what I've called you to. But it's right here that the Western church needs to be careful. Because we're conditioned to a very insular, very personalized perspective. Myself, salvation, my calling, my role, as though we were complete entities in and of ourselves, as though we did not fit together with the rest of the people. Our God designed and calling, therefore the hunger in us, only makes sense in the context of a body. And just like the members of a body, they need to be in a context to be viable and valuable. Let me say it again. If you take out my lungs, while valuable to me, once they're out of my body, they're only valuable in so much as we can put them back in somebody else's body. They're only viable and valuable in the context of a body, but take out my liver or my heart or something, it's only viable and valuable in the context of a body when the body's working together. It's become fashionable and understandable in the Western church to go, well, you know, this is me and this is my ministry. And I go, yeah. But everybody wants to be connected directly to the head. Nobody wants to be connected to the rest of the body. My heart is not directly connected to my head and my lungs and my liver. No. I don't want to be connected to the body. I just Jesus and I. Jesus has called me. Yes. You're viable and valuable in the context of a local body. This is what I know about you. You have a call of God on your life. You have the hunger. And I know this because the Holy Spirit is perfectly faithful. You have a God-given calling to serve in a place, in a body. Let me take you to Romans 12. For by the grace given to me, this is Paul speaking as an apostle, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one member, one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. Excuse me. We have different gifts according to the grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. What a beautiful picture of the body. And you cannot find one expression of any of the sets of the gifts of God in the New Testament that is not couched and securely positioned in context, in Scripture, in the body of Christ. There is no gift set, there is no ministry, there is no service, there is no administration that is not designed to be in its context in the body of Christ. There is no individuality. It does not exist in Scripture. Once again, a vital organ outside of the body forfeits its purpose. So think soberly about yourself, the Bible says. You're part of a body with different functions. I know in some aspects I'm pretty weird because I have a very specific focus. This is my life thing. This is what I do. This is what I long for. This is me. It doesn't have to be you. And sometimes you're a bit weird because you have longings that the Holy Spirit put in you. And you know what, honestly, I watch some people and I watch the stirring of what God's doing in their life with awe because I go, that is astounding to me because I can taste the truth of it in the, when they talk to me about what yearns in their, I can taste the truth of it. I can hear the Spirit of truth and I go, thank you. But that's not what beats in me. And that's okay. It just makes me know I need them. I need you. I need what the Spirit of God's doing in your life. What you yearn for is important to us. The life that beats in your spirit, we need. You go, but I'm different, Greg. I'm not like you. Praise God. I'm an introvert. Praise God. I prefer children. Praise God. I want to minister to people who are struggling. Praise God. Be sincere in your love. Be discerning what you embrace. Cling to the good. Hate what is evil. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. You have the call of God on your life. You have the hunger. That I know. So let me just give you some wisdom. Stir it up. Go after it. Throw logs on the fire. Go bold. Announce it with joy. Stand up on a mountain and declare it. This is who I am and this is what burns in me. Acts 2 tells us that there was once a church. There was once a group of people so devoted to Jesus that they loved one another unashamedly. That they gave up their possessions so that people that they loved could have enough. There was once a church that demonstrated
the true love for one another, and they honored one another above themselves. This happened. There was once a church where people gave themselves up to serve the king. Emperors and armies and religious leaders could not slow them down. They gave up their gifting. To the extent that the Bible says much grace was on everybody. They were so esteemed by their community. They were so honored for the authenticity of their lifestyle. There was once a time on this planet where the Church of Jesus Christ transformed this world. We can do that again in our generation. We can do it again so that the city of Atlanta and the United States of America can see a demonstration of the kingdom of God manifesting through ordinary people like you and me. They loved and they laughed and they struggled together and they lived such ferociously dedicated lives to Jesus that those who were not in the community of faith just respected them. There was once a group of people who gave themselves to the hunger and the call of God on their life. They surrendered to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And they left a legacy, not just for their generation, but for every generation since. We still read their story. We still hear about. They changed the world. And they changed ours as well. They weren't more gifted. They weren't more resourced. They weren't more educated. They weren't more privileged than us. Not even close. But they showed us this is not theory. There was once a generation of believers so passionate, they gave everything they had to follow. And they proved that it was worth it 100 times over. Excuse me. We have given everything to serve our King and His bride. We'll continue to do that. Because like Jeremiah, he said, I decided I wasn't going to speak. I wasn't going to step out into the thing God called me to. And he said, so I'd resolved to keep quiet. And he said, but then the word of God was like to me a fire shut up in my bones and I cannot help it. So Paul said, he said, woe to me if I do not preach. This is the thing I was born to do. Where else can I go? Where else can I find satisfaction? What else could slake my thirst? This is me. I was born to do this. And I wish that same thing on you. I wish upon you the hunger of God. I wish upon you the call of God, irrevocable, irreversible, and unslakable until you step into what God called you to do. So stir yourself to the hunger within you. You've yet got a purpose and a life to live and a body to fit into. Now I know, without a word of knowledge, the sheer reality of life is that there's some people sitting in this meeting and life has been unkind. And maybe you've been hurt. Maybe by one big dramatic event, or maybe by 1,000 paper cuts. Maybe you've been hurt in church. Maybe you've been misunderstood. Maybe you've had a fight with a church leader. Maybe something has dammed up the life of God and stopped up the call of God in you, and you're sitting there like this, and you go, Greg, I know when you talk, I feel it in my bones. I feel the call. But you don't understand, Greg. There's this issue. And I want to grab you and shake you and say, please, please don't let whatever it is stop you from the immense beauty of walking into what God called you to do. Because I swear to see you walk in what you are called to do, there is nothing that does it for me more than that. No greater joy. Paul said, now I really live. Now that you stand firm in Christ, I know what that feels like. No greater joy than to see you stepping. Do you push past that dam that has dammed up the call of God, stopped up the hunger in you? I would love to trust God to break that this morning and to bring release to you so that you're free. And I know that there's some legitimate issues why that's dammed up, why you've backed off, why you've pushed back from people. I get it. I get it. I could tell you stories. I get it. But I feel like this morning, Holy Spirit is here to unblock the dam, to bring a release, to stir again in you the hunger to be used of God in the purpose that He designed you for. Now, in response to that reality, we make a bunch of teams and spaces available every year in our church and go and say to you, kind of understandably, hey, find some way in this context, in this local church, find some way to serve. Because it's the beginning and the start of your in response to what God's got for you. And you know what? You're going to connect with people. And the Holy Spirit wants you to commit to service and commit to helping and moving into the calling and taking steps in the direction of His purpose for you. You'll discover the slaking of the hunger and you'll discover the joy of being connected to other people. This is why, to me, this offer of this week and next week is one of the most profound gifts I can offer the bride of Christ. It's a gift to you, if you would but see it that way. There's an opportunity for you. There's a space for you here. Come and bring your strength. We need people to help us with guest services. Joe and Mary Visitor come to visit our church, and they're 3 kids. It's important to me that they get greeted well, that they get shown a space to park, that they are welcome into the church. Is there anything that they get shown around because they don't know their way? It's important to me that they find a seat in a way that's comfortable to them. It's important to me that they're welcomed into our meeting, that the hosts explain, this is what we're doing. It's important to me that worship goes well and that the sense of the presence of God, but that they can engage with us in worship. I want them yearning. I want them to step in with us into a momentum that is created by a beautifully crafted worship service. I want their children to get engaged and ministered to in children's church so that even if the parents don't want to come back next week, the kids say, no, we're happy for you. We're coming back here. This has happened often. I want the teenagers to go, Mom and Dad, we're happy. We're coming here. I want the message to be compelling and interactive and connect with them where they really live. And I want afterwards, if they have the boldness to come up and be ministered to, I want somebody in the ministry to minister to them in a sensitive, gentle way, but with the awesome power of God. I want, now my question to you is, which is most important? Every single aspect of that is important. I need great ushering. I need great greeting. I need great children's ministers. But most of all, I need great love from us all. Love people. I'm going to close. Tyler mentioned on your chair, there's a list of the teams. There's a little form, little small form, where you can just make a check mark, write your name, make a check mark, and say, I'd like to sign up for this team. You'll find there's a little basket there. There's a basket at both entrances as you leave. You would just fill that out. I'm going to ask you to do it today. Do it now. Do it now. Write out your name. Say, that's what I want to do. Put it in one of those baskets as you leave. Don't leave without filling that out. Say, this is me. I'm signing up. I'm responding to this.
One of the leaders will be in touch with you. Some training is going to be necessary. Some working together is going to be necessary. Bring your strength in a submitted way to a local church, and you'll see God move, and I guarantee, I tell you the truth. In eternity, when you and I cross paths, mark my words, you will say thank you for this gift. I promise you. And I will say, my pleasure. We owe our generation not the theory of the church. We owe our generation a demonstration of church. I'd like to pray for anybody who feels, for whatever reason, that you've backed off, you've been hindered, you've been hurt, you're not walking in the hunger and the calling of God on your life. And I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm not asking anybody to stand. It's not really an issue of anybody else but you and Jesus. Because ultimately, if it has been stopped up in you, this moment is going to require of you to say, Lord, I'm just going to hand it over to you. That person who hurt me, I'm letting go. That circumstance that wounded me, I'm forgiving. This strain that is on me, I'm letting go. There's an enemy that so desires to hinder you from what God has for you. And I'm going to trust in the next few seconds that the Holy Spirit in His own inimitable way will just step into your life and unblock what has held you back. So won't you pray with me? Lord, there's nothing like your call. And Lord, I could not celebrate your moving in the hearts of your people more. Could not be more grateful, Lord, for the yearnings that I know you've been faithful to stir. Cannot thank you enough, Lord, for the yearnings that as I've been speaking, you've been stirring in people's lives and they've been yearning. God, God, bring me to the place where I can serve you. And this morning, Holy Spirit, I pray for what has blocked and stopped your people. I break it in Jesus' name. I break it off your people. And I unstop it, Lord. I break the walls, the dams that have held back the yearnings of God, that have held back your people, the woundings and the hurts and the circumstances that have said, no, you may not minister. And Father, I resist them in Jesus' name for the lies that they are. And you said, Lord, I have weapons of divine power to demolish strongholds and lies that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. And I break these lies, Lord, off the hearts and minds of people in the name of Jesus now. And I release them, Lord, to the burning hunger and the fiery race that you have called us all to. Now, Lord, I pray that in the months to come in this church, that you would bring in, Lord, thousands of people to experience your beauty, your love, your kindness. Not interested in a brand, Lord. We're interested in that Jesus Christ be honored and that our generation would see there is a church of the living God. The kingdom of God has come and I can show you where it's manifesting. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would do it here for the glory of Jesus. In His name, amen and amen.